Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. No!
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yeah. Dude.
Yep. This is Shock Therapy Live because the big voice guy just said so.
Yeah.
Welcome to it, Sunday night. Happy Father's Day. Hey, happy Father's Day, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. Happy Father's Day to you.
Sorry you're here.
No, I'm happy that I'm here.
Me too.
I'd rather hug you than my kids.
Sweet.
But let's be fair.
Yeah.
Like, my kids aren't at the age where they can appreciate me, so Father's Day with them, for me, is just them yelling at me. This is my son's way of expressing Father's Day to me.
Nice.
Yeah, kind of like Legion.
I like...
And then my daughter, she's like 18 days old.
Right.
All she does is go...
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, come on, use some words.
Right?
Give me a card or something. Gosh. Just give me poopy diapers, all she gives me. Poopy diapers and freaking gas.
Yeah.
Farts on me.
Yeah, that's what babies do. Don't you know this?
I'd way rather have a card.
Yeah, I got a card. In fact, both of my boys drew angel cards.
That's cool.
Yeah, and they wrote out the players.
No poopy diapers either, huh?
None.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Really good.
Right, at least for now, until little Brody is born.
Brody.
little Brody.
I like Brody. I'm not sure. I don't know if I like Brody or if it's a joke. I'm not sure.
I think it started as a joke, but I love it so much because little Brody.
Would you only like it for like a year
because
it's a fad and then be like, man, why did I name my kid Brody?
Brody. Because you just can't say it. It's seriously like a happy name because every time you say it, you smile.
You realize your kid's going to get made fun of if you name him Brody.
Why? It's like the chillest name in the world.
Yeah.
Move to SoCal and everybody would be like,
Brody!
Not
chill? What if your kid's like a total lame, like, I love comic books, like he's my dad. What if he's like that?
Nicely done. I promise we're going to talk about something interesting tonight. Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig with you. It's Shock Therapy Live. If you'd like to chime in, the phone number is 505-338-3700. And, dude, Shock Therapy Live is our one-hour call-in show focused on you. Dude, maybe you read something this week in Scripture and you're kind of confused on it. Or
yeah,
maybe,
you probably shouldn't ask that question because it's not a theology show.
Yeah, but what if they have, like, some confusion about something? I don't know. Maybe you're struggling with a friend. Maybe you've got an issue right now. Maybe you're sleeping with your girlfriend and you need to know how to stop because
maybe.
It's fun and you don't want to stop. That's what we're here for, man, to hang out with you. So you can email your questions in to studio@mystaticradio.com if you'd like to keep them anonymous. I promise we will respect your privacy and won't share your name with anybody.
Especially because we're the hip-hop anonymous. My lyrics are bottomless.
Yeah, truth. Truth right there. Or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. The phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. I got an email question. I feel bad because we got this a couple weeks ago, but then last week, no show. So
yeah, it was like silence. Silence of the lambs.
Yeah, thanks,
silence of the shows.
I was driving back from Denver and said, oh, that's my fault. That was awesome.
I was in front of the studio.
I'm the best.
I was like, man, why don't I hear my voice? Oh, man.
So the question is this. My family and I have been going to church for many years.
Mm.
However, now that I'm getting older, I've been noticing an unbelievable amount of hypocrisy in the youth group program. Welcome to the club.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I added that. A lot of the kids and the leaders act like Christians on Sunday, but at school I see no difference between them and all the other students. I see the entire program as an extension of the high school cliques. And when I got there, I felt very ignored, excluded. My dad agrees with my observations and understands my frustrations with the church, but still wants me to attend because my family, they don't have problems with the church. He also says, I need a fellowship with other Christians. He doesn't believe that I should start going to another church because he doesn't want to split up the fam. We've not been able to come up with a good solution, and I wanted to know what you guys think. Is it wrong or selfish of me to not want to go here? Should I make an effort to go here anyway, despite the problems with the church and its leaders? What are my options? Thanks.
You know, on one hand, I agree with your dad. I think it's good to keep a family together, and I think that it's important to fellowship with other Christians. On the other hand, I hear what you're saying, but guess what? Welcome to church. Because let me tell you, it's not any better in big church, if you want to call it that. It's not any better at any church you go to. And the truth is there is going to be hypocrisy at the church. And that's not the church's fault or God's fault. That's human beings. So there's always going to be problems with the church, not just a church, the church. And the main reason why is because ultimately, it's an ordination of God, but it's something that human beings run. And human beings are fatally flawed, and so there's always going to be flaws with the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean that we should exclude it or not go to it, because the Bible tells us we should fellowship with one another. We should be going to the church. We should be building into one another and pouring into one another. But hypocrisy is part of that. And you can either do one of two things, become incredibly bitter about it and not go at all, or you can try to find a way to change it. You know, if there's people that you know that say one thing at church and then act another way at school, call them out on it.
Yeah, man.
Say, dude, what the heck? You know, I saw you at church this Sunday. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, and you either have a choice to either be a thermometer or a thermostat. And what a thermometer is, it just tells everybody around them what temperature it is, and it just fluctuates with what the temperature is. But a thermostat changes the temperature.
Yeah.
So you can either sit around and be grumpy and say, man, the church is bad, the church is this, and just be telling the church what it is, or you can come in there and say, hey, this is how we should be and change the situation.
Booyah!
So that's my take on that situation.
I like that. Now, when he gets older, this is just hypothetical, when he's older, if things persist and he's of the age, like, you know, past high school or something, where it's not like a tagging along with family, what about like a 20-something who just doesn't feel like he fits in with that church? Because it's hard. There's the church hoppers, right? But then there's somebody who truly just has tried to get plugged in and doesn't fit in. Where's that line? Like, okay, you know what, bro? Time to go find something else.
Well, here's the thing. You go to another church, but you'll find hypocrites there.
Yeah.
You'll find cliques there.
Yeah.
Because again, no matter what church you go to, there's going to be that.
Right.
And what I find,
start your own clique.
This is what I find. No, this is what I find. I find the people that say that the church is cliquey are people that are never putting themselves out there. They come into a church and a lot of times they want to say, oh, well, nobody wants to be my friend. Well, do you talk to anybody? No. Okay. Mm-hmm. So everyone's supposed to come talk to you. Well, yeah.
Says the PK. Not part of the cliquey. My youth group that I went to was very cliquey.
Yeah.
And I was not part of the in cliquey. Maybe you were just part of the in cliquey and didn't notice it.
No, I just think, I don't know.
They're really, it's there.
It's there.
It's there, in one form or another.
But at the same time, I think a lot of times we always want to blame someone else for not having friends if we're not putting, but then we're not putting ourselves out there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's important to you know, for instance, at a youth group, pretty much any youth group you have has a buttload of events and has a buttload of stuff to get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that if you were to get involved in some of the stuff that was going on in that youth group, you'd very quickly find friends and you'd very quickly become part of that group.
Yeah.
The reason they're a group is because they do stuff together.
Yeah.
So if you want to become part of the group, you do stuff. You start getting involved in a small group. Guess what? That's basically a Christian clique, a small group. It's a group of like 6 or 7 guys that meet together on a weekly basis and have leaders.
Right.
If that's not a group, then I don't know what is. So, you know, there's ways to get involved and there's ways to get plugged in. And I think it's important to do that at a church instead of, you know, the people. This is what happens. The people that I always hear that say the church is cliquey are the people that come in, sit in the back, and then leave. And then they come back and they say the church is cliquey.
Right.
Do you go to the church? Well, yeah. Well, no, you don't really go to, you're not really part of the church.
Right.
Yeah, you sit in the back, but are you a part of the church? No. And part of that, we want to invite you in and we want to have open arms to people, to new people that come. But at the same time, you got to let us know you're new.
Right.
You know, I always tell people that. They say, hey, no leaders came and introduced themselves to me. Well, did you tell anybody that you were new or this was your first time? No. So we're supposed to look at all the people that come here and know exactly, oh, that person, I've never seen that person. I mean, to a certain point, you've got to let us No.
You've got, it's 50-50. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. We do, our church does something called cohorts, and once every other month we get together with different AG churches and we talk out, okay, this is where we're growing, this is what we're doing, this is where we're headed.
Yeah.
And, somebody made a comment yesterday about, big churches and how it's really hard to get involved in a big church because you can get lost. I said, well, how hard have you tried? You know what I mean? And because you hear that sometimes, it's like, oh man, this church has, you know, 17,000 members. It's so difficult to get plugged in. Okay, well, what are your interests? I like to play softball. I like this. Well, did you know that Calvary has multiple softball teams? Did you know that they have a paint? Did you know that, have you checked out this small group? Did you notice this thing? Did you know? No. So stop complaining and get dug in somewhere. I definitely agree that people are more observers than they are participators. And so,
You know, so I think it's important to come into a place and, you know, before you say...
Participate, bro!
Yeah, before you say, I'm not accepted there, try to get involved. And if you literally try to get involved and they say, we don't want you here, okay, then you're not getting accepted. But if you're just quiet and you sit there and never talk to anybody... then take some ownership and put yourself out there a little bit.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, if you say, hey, this is my first time, they're not going to say, we don't like you. That's not going to happen. If you go to them and let them know that you want to get involved, you go to the leadership there and say, hey, you know, I want to get more involved. I want to meet people. They're not going to say, sorry, we don't like people that have black hair. They're not gonna like, I don't know what you look like, but they're not gonna discriminate against you. They're not gonna put you at like the.
And
the,
if they do, then maybe it's more than just the little observations. Yeah, then you leave.
Exactly. But you know, I firmly believe that your church leadership is gonna be there for you. And if you go there and you put yourself out there, they're gonna get you involved. But if you just sit in the back forever and then have snide comments afterwards about the church, then you're right, you're never going to get involved. And when you do go to the other church, the leadership will probably be happy. So,
plus, if you have a crappy attitude like that, how much do you really want to get involved?
Because
all you're looking for is excuses to complain and to just be that guy that sits in the back and talks trash about the church, and I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
That's why you're not part of the club, because you're a jerk.
We just made so many assumptions about this kid. He's like,
I'm not talking about the person who emailed specifically. I'm just saying they're definitely the complainers.
Yeah,
you know,
they totally are.
It's like they try and find things to complain about without having to get involved, so that they have something to talk about, you know, rather than digging in and really applying themselves. So
So you know, try to get involved, try to get plugged in, try to find ways that you can be a part of the body.
Yeah.
And if the body truly rejects you, then find another church.
Absolutely.
But I'd at least try before you.
And thanks for the email.
Come to that.
You can email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. If you're listening, that was a cool email. We got another email that we'll get to here in a second. But I want to remind you guys, hey, Shock Therapy Live, open phone lines, open forum. If you'd like to call in, 505-338-3700. It's Steve Owen, Pastor Nate Heitzig,
like
hanging out with
you. Point out, this is not a recording.
No, it's
People
not.
People are like, wait,
no, right.
Is this real?
We're really here on Father's Day.
Is this the Matrix?
Away from our families. You know, Chrissy mentioned Neo as a name for the little one today.
Man, that's weird.
Yeah, can't do that.
You have to have, like, a comic book or pop culture name, don't you?
I feel like I do, because Jack and Luke have been solid, like, plain, strong names, and I want something different, like, you know, Optimus Prime.
No, I'm saying, but, like, Jack and Luke, you named both of those off of pop culture icons. Like, I'm saying, do you have to have a kid named after, like, a pop culture icon?
No.
Can it just be like, hey, I really like the name Nathan. I'm just going to name my kid that.
Well, that's why the front runner is what the front runner is right now. It has nothing to do with anything.
Brody is really the front runner?
Oh, no. That's not I refuse to say the front runner. There actually is a name that's most likely the name.
What is it?
I can't tell you.
I want to know.
Yeah.
The ones I heard before were Logan.
Actually, how about this? Ted Theodore Logan.
That's really it?
No, that's Bill and Ted.
Oh.
That's Ted Theodore Logan.
I didn't know that.
Or Brody, I'm telling you.
I want to hear the front runner.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
I don't want to tell anybody. Because then everybody knows a little kid who, like, peed himself, who, like, smelled like boogers, and you know what I mean? And it ruins it.
Or even worse, someone's going to take it before you get to use it.
Exactly!
They steal your name.
It's the worst. That's happened to me. Multiple times, yes. I will not say the culprit, but it's cool because my kids' names are cooler anyways. All right, not bitter at all. studio@mystaticradio.com. That's the email address if you would like to chime in. We got an email right now saying, hey, I was hoping maybe you could answer a few questions I had.
Oh, man, we only do one at a time.
I know.
Sorry.
They say, I apologize for having so many.
Oh, gosh.
And if some don't
so
get
many.
Answered, that's okay. Smiley face. Hey.
Okay.
So it's
all
cool.
Right. All right.
So I was wondering if you consider yourself one religion, do you have to believe everything in that religion, or are you ever even going to find a religion that there's nothing you don't believe?
Huh.
Okay.
Wow.
Let me try and decipher
that.
Let's
do one at a time.
So I was wondering if you can... If you man.
Can I have an answer. I have an answer. I have an answer.
Did you get it?
I have an answer.
Oh, okay,
I have an
good.
Answer. I hate religion.
Okay.
That's my answer.
But is we actually I just,
So let me say that. That's why I refuse to label myself as something. Well, are you a Protestant or are you a Baptist or are you an Arminianist or are you a Calvinist? I believe in the Bible. That's what I am.
Her next remark, it's funny. Her next remark says, I've had a few people say, I can't say I'm Baptist if I don't fully believe everything Baptists believe.
Yeah.
She asks, is it okay for someone to just consider themselves a Christian?
Yes. Yes.
Huh?
And I not only is it okay, I encourage that. Because this is the way I've said it. If you call yourself, for instance, a staunch Calvinist,
right.
Carrying that to the fullest extent will cause you to have to deny certain parts of the Bible. If you call yourself a staunch Arminianist to the fullest extent, that will carry you to a point where you have to deny parts of the Bible. If you call yourself a staunch Catholic, that will lead you to areas where you have to deny certain parts of the Bible. I think if you call yourself a staunch anything that man has made, it's going to cause you to deny a certain part of the Bible.
Right.
What happened is the word Christian, that's why I call myself a Christian. It's not a religion. Really, if anything, it's a mockery. The Romans started calling the Christians Christians because they were making fun of them and saying, you guys are like little Christs, which is what the word Christian means.
Right.
And they used it as kind of a mockery. And the Christians said, yeah, we kind of like that. We're supposed to be like little Christ. So we're Christians.
Yeah, cool. We're Christians.
So I refuse to label myself as something simply because it carries so much baggage.
Yeah.
Whenever someone asks me that on an airplane, well, what kind of Christian are you? What they're looking for is they're looking for an area to disagree. I don't know if they realize that or not, but they're waiting for you to say, well, I'm this. Oh, I'm this. Like, I'm a Baptist. Oh, well, I'm a Catholic. Oh, and then they won't talk to you for the rest of the plane, right? They're like, But if you say,
I'm a Christian. What kind of Christian?
This is what I say. I always tell people, so what kind of Christian are you? And this is what I say. I say, I'm a biblical Christian. What is that? I've never heard of that. Well, I believe everything that the Bible says, and I believe it word for word, and I believe that God spoke through his word, and that we should apply all areas of the word. And then you have an opportunity to talk to them. Well, what do you mean? Like, what is that? And they're curious about that, because they expect you to say, I'm this, or I'm that, or
right.
I'm evangelical, or whatever. So I think... There's so many things that carry so much baggage. I mean, for instance, if you tell someone you're an evangelical, for some reason they think that you, like, do tongues and, like, they think that you're, like, one of those freaky people
dancing
they've seen
down
on that.
The aisles.
They think that, like, summer camp movie with the kids, that you're one of those kids from that summer camp movie. Or if you tell somebody you're a Catholic, they immediately think that, like, you've done an exorcism. Or, you know, if you tell somebody, you know, there's all this baggage that comes with these names. And, you know, in reality, when I look at my religious beliefs and what I believe doctrinally, there is a certain area that you could classify me. But I'm never going to tell anybody that because I don't want the baggage that comes with that.
Yeah.
When people label you as something. So I think it's completely okay to not agree 100% with a religion because, honestly, I don't really agree with any. There's not a single religion out there that I agree 100% with, and that's why I'm not religious. I have a relationship with Christ.
Now, that being said, here's what's not okay, because I know many people who say, yeah, I love Jesus, I consider myself a Christian, but this part of Scripture or this part of Scripture or this part or that part of Scripture I don't agree with, so therefore I choose not to believe in that part.
Yeah.
That's
again, because that's not a religion that you're disagreeing with. That's...
You're disagreeing with the inerrant word of God.
Yeah,
and that
exactly.
is something completely different. Because that's the first thing that stuck out when I saw the question was, is there nothing you don't believe in this religion? Well, I like you, try to adhere to a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
Meaning that I take the word, man, every word is God breathed. I believe, as
yeah.
the scripture says, you know, it is the inerrant word of God. And therefore... there are times
yeah.
I will say I may not like something. Oh man, that sucks. This is difficult. However, this is God's word. And so,
yeah.
And
I think that's where it comes. Like there's certain parts of religions that I don't agree with because the Bible says they're wrong. That's why I don't agree with them.
Right.
So I take the Bible word for word, and that's why I can't hold to, well, I'm a staunch whatever, because I don't want to call myself that if the Bible contradicts part of that and just stand on that ground because I want to be labeled this.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be labeled a follower of Christ, so.
Dude, she has a handful of questions.
Let's keep going. Let's move on.
I know. Okay.
Next.
Next one. Is it okay for someone... Oh, sorry. I just read that.
Next.
To consider themselves a Christian. Is it possible for someone to continue living in sin and be forgiven if they aren't willing to stop?
No.
No. Yeah.
No, no. The Bible says, repent, turn from sin, and do it no longer.
Right. Well, if they, how could
walk
they...
Walk in it no longer.
Right. If you're not repentant, if you
yeah,
don't...
Yeah, true
like,
repentance leads to change.
Right.
The concept here is can you be justified without being sanctified, basically, is what you're saying. Again, we've tackled this so many times on Shock Therapy, the difference right. between justification and sanctification. You cannot be justified without being sanctified. You cannot be sanctified without being justified. The two work hand in hand. So you can't repent from sin, turn from sin, and then keep doing that sin. It doesn't
right.
work like that. Now, that doesn't mean that when you repent from sin and turn from sin that immediately you're going to stop doing it 100%, but it means that you're daily trying to let those things get taken over. And what I take from this question is basically, this is what I take from this person, is are there certain things that it's okay for me not to believe in? And then also with that, is it okay for certain sins to be committed if I'm, you know, repentant and keep doing it? I feel like this is something that someone would ask about. I have a homosexual friend. The Bible says that it's wrong to be homosexual. Do I have to believe that? Number two, if they sincerely love Jesus, but they continue to live in that sin and they don't change, are they forgiven? And that's ultimately the question is, can you live a life dominated in sin without changing or even desiring to change or trying to change?
Right.
And go to heaven? And the answer
is
no.
It. Yeah, desiring to change, wanting to change, struggling through something is very different than I really want to sleep with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
I love Jesus. I know the Bible says I shouldn't have premarital sex. However, it just feels so good. So I'm just going to keep doing it. God loves me. He'll forgive me.
Yeah.
And you're outright blatantly living in sin with disregard to what Scripture has to say in that area. That's completely different than somebody who is fighting through, struggling through, battling
exactly.
with, dealing with. Your Yeah. And so... Yeah, I was that kid in high school. I'll be completely blunt and honest. I was that kid going to youth group, and it was like, praise Jesus, I love him. But I also super love making out with my girlfriend and taking it all the way because it felt good. And so I know I should stop, but it just feels so good. And so he loves me. He'll forgive me. And there was no repentance. There was no turning away from that. And so, yeah, no. That the long and short of it from the very beginning.
No.
So, also, she says, is it easier for a non-believer to become a Christian and stay a believer than it is for someone raised as a quote-unquote Christian to stay a Christian?
Relative?
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say with that.
Is it easier?
You could ask one and get one answer and ask another and get another answer.
Right.
So no. I guess no. Yeah. No.
Next. There's a slew. She says, again, I apologize for all these questions, but I'd really like some feedback.
Stop apologizing. Ask the question already.
All right. If I don't pray, is that a sin?
Yes.
We're actually going through a book right now about prayer. And that's one thing. The very first thing is to repent
the Bible
of
says
prayerlessness.
The Bible says pray without ceasing. Is it one of the Ten Commandments? No, but the Bible says to pray without ceasing. The Bible also says, do not be unequally yoked. Is it in the Ten Commandments? No. But is it a sin to be unequally yoked? Yes.
I feel like all these questions go hand in hand because let me put it together from what I can gather on this. This person is dealing with something in their life that they don't want to give up on. And because they don't want to give up on that, they don't want to pray because when they pray, they get the conviction of God saying you shouldn't be doing this. Or they don't want to talk to God because they feel guilty because they know what they're doing is sin and wrong. Therefore, I don't want to talk to him because I know I'm on the outs right now.
What I hear from this is, can I not go to church, not call myself a Christian, not agree with everything the Bible says, live how I want, not pray, and go to heaven?
Right.
No.
No. No.
No.
It's not. Yeah. This isn't the magical get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
It's the magical. But I mean, that's what people want. They want to be able to live
this
their life, do whatever they want.
What people want is they want a boundary. They want any person wants you to draw them a line and say, how bad can I be before
right.
I'll go to hell? Right. At what point am I like, okay, this is like the hell-heaven boundary. If you cross this boundary, boop, you're going to burn.
Right.
And people want that line drawn for them. And I've said this before. I don't like to draw that line. Instead, I like to ask the question, how holy is too holy? How righteous is too righteous? You know, how godly is too godly? Those are the questions you should be asking, not how bad is too bad, how sinful is too sinful,
right.
You know, how unreligious is too unreligious. You know, those aren't the questions you should be asking.
Well, how changed is your heart really?
Yeah.
I mean, is it really, is your heart, that's a question I would ask that you would need to examine your heart. Are you truly transformed? Are you truly changed?
There's
by
the
Christ?
Question. How really saved is too saved?
Right.
Hey, so you threw this life raft out in the water, and you want to bring me on the boat. Can I just kind of hang on to the life raft while you drag me in to shore for 200 miles instead of getting on the cruise ship and hanging out with like the captain and stuff? Can I just like sit on the life raft and let you, and you know, actually, can I lay on the life raft and like, do I have to hold on to it? Instead of saying that, say, how much in the boat can I get?
Right.
Like, how close to the captain can I be? Not how much on the life raft can I be hanging with a pinky? I mean, that's not the question you should be asking.
Dude, my heart grieves thinking about all these questions because, to be completely honest, this sounds like me asking these questions in high school because I wasn't repentant. I didn't care. And it was I will say this right now. This is a very scary, dangerous, heart, like hurt filled road of suck, and it does not get easier. And you think, but I just want to live this way. And if God loves me, can I do these things? And I see my life going this way, and I love this person. I'm committed to this person, so I want to be with this person. And the hurts that come from that when you are not in accord with what God has for your life, I promise you, the journey he wants to take you down is far superior than anything you can fathom or dream. And to sit around in the mud making little mud pies and thinking this is it, this is the grand adventure, it's foolishness, because God has so much more in store, because he loves you and he's not trying to hinder your life in any way, shape, or form. He's not trying to bring you down and take away what you love. It's just that right now the pleasures that you are engaged in, and this is some assumption on my part thinking, looking at this, but whatever you're engaged in that you feel like is so pleasurable, that how could God, you know, hinder you from wanting to take part in that, is nothing compared to the pure pleasure of actually knowing God deeply and having a right relationship with him. Because I promise you, man, he can do so much more than you can fathom or think with your life if you would just surrender it to him. Truly.
You know, and I think it's always these questions blow my mind, because no one asks this about anything else. No one says, hey, how cancer-free is too cancer-free? how sick is too sick?
Right.
How infested with AIDS is too infested with AIDS?
How far can I stick my arm into the fire
before
it starts hurting?
Yeah.
Before I need surgery.
It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like it doesn't make sense to me.
How many stories up from a building can I jump off without dying?
How broken is too broken? Like if I jump off this building and break all my bones, how broken is too broken?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's I think we shouldn't ask that question. It's how safe is too safe?
Shock Therapy Live.
Yes, I had a question.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask about when the people are going to be raptured, are they going to get a new glorified body, or do they keep their same body?
When people get raptured, like once they get to heaven?
No, whenever Jesus comes
like
back,
second coming
and
of Jesus.
The rapture happens.
Uh-huh.
Do you keep your same body, or do those people get a new body? Or a glorified body.
So, like, basically, the people that raise from the dead, obviously they get a new body because they're not like bones and ash
walking
around.
Right, they
but
do.
The people that actually get raptured, do they get a new body as well?
Yes.
Great question.
And ultimately the answer is yes. The Bible tells us that we're all going to get a new body, regardless whether you get raptured or whether you die and he raises you up. We get glorified bodies because we're living in a glorified state. Heaven isn't a place where our mortal bodies exist. So we get a new body in the same way that Jesus got a new body.
Now he was still recognizable.
Yeah, he was recognizable able to see him, but he didn't have the same limitations that our bodies have. For instance, he could walk through walls.
Yeah.
Gravity obviously wasn't a problem for him.
Right.
He was able to, move extremely quickly from one place to another, at one time traveling hundreds of miles within a couple hours. So he didn't have the same limitations that we have because he was on a different plane. And ultimately, the thought here is that in that plane, in that realm that we would call heaven, our mortal bodies can't exist because our mortal bodies are subject to certain things. The bodies that we're in are subject to age. Our bodies that we're in, no matter where we are, our bodies are subject to age. Our bodies are subject to disease. Our bodies are subject to gravity. Our bodies are subject to a certain number of limitations that are limitations of our human bodies. And so in order to achieve and get past those limitations, we have to be in a different body.
Does that help you out?
That does.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Have a great
night. Have a blessed evening.
You too. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live with Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig. We're going to take a quick break, but coming right back, we'll dig more into your thoughts, your questions. 505-338-3700, or you can email us at studio@mystaticradio.com.
Shock Therapy Live. A little heated by tonight's topic? Yes? Build a bridge and get over it. Or better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Well, all right. Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live, says the big voice guy. Phone number is 505-338-3700 if you would like to call us up. Or you can also ask a question on Facebook, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hey, what's up? I had a question about prayer.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'd like to preface my question with I definitely believe in the power of prayer. But I think I was listening to last week's episode where you guys were kind of in an argument with that one guy. And God already knows what's going to happen, so... I guess I don't want to say rebuttal, but my rebuttal to that is, and what's the point of prayer if, you know, he already knows what's going to happen, so why pray?
Okay. So the question is, why pray if God's already...
I think ultimately, a couple of reasons. Number one, simply because the Bible says so. The Bible tells us, in everything through prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. I think that, number two, we do it because we want to be submissive to God. Even though God knows the future, knows what's going to happen, we want to pray. We always pray in accordance to God's will because we want to be submissive to what God has for us. And number three, I think that even though God knows what's going to happen to us, we pray because through prayer and submitting to God's will through prayer and supplication, we get the rest of what Philippians says. The Philippians says, in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And then it continues, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. So we're praying to God in knowledge that he knows everything. And what you do is when you come to him saying, Lord, you hold my future, you know my future. The Bible tells me that your thoughts for me are of good, not of evil, plans to give me a future and a hope. And I come to you and I submit to you, no matter what happens, bad or good, knowing that you're a God who holds my future in your hands, and knowing that gives me a peace. So we're praying and we're asking for the Lord. You know, when we're praying, we're asking the Lord more than anything to reveal his will to us. And whenever I pray for something, Lord, I pray that you'll let this happen, but I want it to be your will, God. Because sometimes what I want and what I desire isn't God's will, and if it's not God's will, then I want God to redirect my path, no matter how hard that is. And I know that by praying to him and communicating with him, it gives me a peace because I know that he's got it under control.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, just like when I was in youth group in like middle school, people would like pray to like have their grandpa cured of cancer or something. It's like, well, what if God wants them to die of cancer? So
yeah, and that's why it's important. You know, I get people all the time at church that come and say, hey, will you pray for me? I'm sick. And I do, and I always pray that it will happen in accordance to God's will. And I'll even say that in the prayer, Lord, if it's not your will that this person will get healed from cancer, I pray that, number one, you'll give them peace through that. You'll give them comfort through that. And number two, I pray, Lord, that you'll use what's happening in their life to impact and influence people in their relationship with Christ.
And you know what? This is something that I'm actually going through as we speak, something that happened to me recently. You know, my wife and I are preparing for our third child. We have two boys already, and I wanted a girl, dude, like badly. To a point where I was praying without ceasing for a girl. Lord, I want a girl. I want a little girl to break my heart. I want a little baby girl. And I prayed every single day that God, if this is your will, man, hook me up with a baby girl. And, you know, 2 weeks ago we went in for an ultrasound. And sure enough, wink, little Jeter, he was a dude, and very clearly. And to be honest, I remember this feeling of being kind of bummed out for a second because, man, I had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for a little baby girl. And I really, truly believed in my heart, like, this is going to be a girl. I just know it because I've been praying and I've just been so diligent. And God knows that this is a desire of my heart is for a girl. And Psalm 37 says, if I delight myself in the Lord, he'll give me the desires of my heart. And yeah, I want a girl and girl, 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 girl. Well, it's a boy. And so I was sitting in there, minorly depressed. And I remember...
I'm going to tell your son.
Tell him, because this is exactly what happened. I looked over, and my second son, Luke, who obviously is a little dude, I remember when we found out we were pregnant with our second child, and I wanted a girl. And so I was praying for a girl. And when we found out Luke was a boy, man, I shed tears because I wanted a girl. And I was pretty bummed out. And so I was sitting there in the doctor's office, finding out that our third one is a boy as well. And before I had a chance to get pretty bummed out about it, I looked over and Luke was standing next to me. And man, I just grabbed my son and embraced him and hugged him because I couldn't fathom my life without my son. And so sometimes God knows better than us. You know what I mean? So sometimes we can pray and pray and pray and pray. And it doesn't change the fact that God's got a plan. And the plan in my life involved me having a third son, not a girl. And you know what? Praise be to God that I'm having another baby, you know, and so now the prayer is for a healthy dude, you know, and that God will be preparing him now for the future and for whatever he has in store for his life. And so,
and again, that's why we always pray in accordance to God's will. And if anything, we do it because the Bible says so. We want to be submissive to God. And we know that through prayer, God guards our heart and
guards our hearts and mind. And for me also, okay, Nate, you're one of my dearest friends. How often do we, like, get to talk and hang out on the phone? You know what I mean?
Yeah, not
that often, and it kind of sucks. So I love the moments when we can barbecue together, we can hang out together. And truly, if we are in a relationship with God and we love him so much, wouldn't we just want to hang out and talk with him anyways?
Yeah.
You know? And so I think of prayer less about requests and about what can I get in my life, you know? And hey, man, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I need. I'd love a girl, but I didn't get a girl, and that's totally cool, because I know that God loves me and that his ways are higher than mine, and he's got a wicked awesome plan for this little dude. And so for me, prayer is more about just having that close relationship with God more so than the magician of the future.
And I heard someone say that. It said prayer is more about aligning my will to God's will rather than bending God's will to my will.
Yeah.
And that's what prayer is about. It's about aligning our will with God's, not bending his will to ours.
What a fantastic question.
Yeah, very good.
Dude, thank you so much for the call.
I had a second part to the question if you guys have time.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Well, this is a little theological, so I don't know if you guys want to answer this, but I guess I got an argument with a good friend who's a Catholic and loves God and everything. But it was about praying to saints. And he said, basically, you know, they don't worship saints. They said, you know, basically they pray to saints to, you know, basically... Or they're asking saints to pray for them, just as like we'd ask.
Like as an intercessor, basically.
And I use that
word purposely.
and I was like, well, you know, saints just means holy one, so why couldn't I ask my dead grandpa to pray for me? And then he's like, oh, well, you can do that too. And he pointed out several verses, which I haven't read or studied up on. But like, and so I guess my question was, obviously, as Christians, most of us don't believe in praying to saints or anything, but he brought up some good points about, like, well, why, if it was possible, why wouldn't you want your dead grandpa to help pray for you or Mary or something like that?
Yeah. You know, and here's the thought. Ultimately, praying to saints is wrong. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say that we should pray to saints or pray to Mary or pray to anyone other than to God. It only instructs believers in Christ to pray to God. And I know some people say, some Catholics, their response is that they view Mary and saints as intercessors before God. And what they believe is they believe that a saint ultimately who is glorified in heaven has more direct access to God than we do. And that's the thinking there of praying to saints in Catholic. But that's completely unbiblical according to Hebrews 4:16.
That's exactly
Hebrews 4:16 says, approach the throne of grace with confidence. As a matter of fact, it carries it even more so in Timothy chapter 2:5. If we think that we need an intercessor or a mediator to God, we already have one.
Right.
First Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ.
Right.
So the thought here is there is no one else who is qualified to mediate our relationship with God and us besides Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is the only mediator, then that indicates that Mary and the saints cannot be mediators.
Right.
So that's the thinking here, that we need to intercede and we need to pray to God. And that's what we want to keep in mind. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. So, we don't want to pray to saints. We don't want to pray to Mary for those reasons. We want to keep in mind that the only one who can mediate for us is Jesus Christ.
And truth be told, if we can approach the throne of grace, why would we want to go to our bro down the street who then in turn would take this message to him? It's like a game of operator, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, the point he brought up was, well, you would go down to your bro down the street because you'd ask, you know, can you pray for me? Just as like maybe like your youth group, you know, you'd ask other people in your youth group to pray for you. Well, you'd ask your dead relatives, so you wouldn't necessarily pray to them. But
Well, let me tell you. Here's the difference. Completely different. The Apostle Paul asks other Christians to pray for him in Ephesians 6:19. In many other scriptures, we see believers praying for one another. 2 Corinthians 1:11, Ephesians 1:16, Philippians 1:19, 2 Timothy 1:3. Everywhere in the Bible that we read about people praying to dead people, it's always in the context of sorcery, witchcraft, necromancy, and divination.
Right.
Every single time that we read about in the Bible of someone praying to a dead person, we find that and the Bible strongly condemns that. In Leviticus 20:27, in Deuteronomy 18:10-13, in 1 Samuel 28:7-19, and this is clear in the Bible that we're not supposed to communicate with the dead.
Right.
So it's completely different than talking to your friend down the street and asking them to pray for you. Completely different because we can't talk to people from the dead. We can talk to our friends.
All right, yeah, that makes sense. And then, like, my other thing was, like, I didn't think, like, you know, sometimes you pray through thought, not out loud. Like, I don't think, like, dead people can read our minds. I think it's only God that has that power, just as, like, the devil doesn't have the power to read our thoughts.
Yeah. So And you know, here's the other thinking too. By praying to somebody, you know, especially who had said, "Well, okay, yeah, why wouldn't you want to pray to your grandpa?" By claiming that you're going to pray to your grandpa or pray to someone else who has died, you're becoming the voice of God that person's in heaven. You don't know their heart. What if they're in hell? You know, you don't know that person ultimately how God judged that person. You know, we don't want to pray to someone that we don't know how they were judged. Even the disciples. Do I think that Paul's in hell? No. But
there's way too many jokes about him at the – I'm just kidding.
But do I want to be the deciding factor of how God judges people and whether they're in heaven or hell and which ones are okay to pray to? No. That's right. God's ultimate standard, and I'm not the judge of who's in heaven and hell and who I can pray to.
Bottom line is there's one mediator.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jesus.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I heard that like it was the Catholic Church that like made these like people saints, like, and it was like 300 years after Jesus had already died. And
hey, I'm going to give you a super cool resource for questions like that. There's an incredible website called gotquestions.org. gotquestions.org, and you can go in there and in the search, like, just put praying to saints, and what you're going to get is you're going to get some really awesome answers that will give you those Bible verses that I just gave you a second ago.
All right.
It's a really great website. It can help you with some of that stuff.
All right. Well, sounds good. Yeah, thank you guys very much.
Yeah, man. Have a great night.
Questions. All right, you too.
All right. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
As always.
That's right, buddy. Hanging out. And I know we got a... Do we want to take our final quick break, or do you want to hit this Facebook question real quick?
I don't know.
Have you read it yet?
Let's hit it.
Okay.
Let's hit it. Christina says, I'm getting married in November. Congratulations.
Nice.
And my
done.
Fiance and I have been talking about discipline in children recently. We have different views about spanking. When is the appropriate time to spank?
3 months.
I don't know if there is an appropriate time for every child of when the exact right time to spank is. I think if you read 25 different children's books, you'll get 25 different answers.
Yeah.
Of when the appropriate time is to spank, including some that saying you shouldn't spank at all.
Well, are they asking the age or the appropriate?
No, they're asking the age. When is the appropriate time to spank? Like, at what age?
Are you sure that's the age, or could it be like, when should
know.
You spank?
I guess it's vague.
You're right. There's 1,000 resources. Because I'll tell you the book that for me it was like, this is the one. Shepherding a Child's Heart. And there's some great things to learn in there, like the appropriate time to spank, rebellion. That's it, period. Because there are times as parents, you're tired and your kid's acting like a kid and you're like, shut up and go to your room because you're driving me crazy. But it's like, Dad, I'm just acting like a child.
Yeah.
You know, that's never an appropriate time to spank. Rebellion.
The age to spank is when they realize they know when they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it came for Janae and I. Like, there was a time when Seth for a while would do things wrong, and we wouldn't spank. We'd say, Seth, no, don't do that. And then he got to an age where he started realizing what no meant, and we'd say, Seth, no, and he'd look at us and he'd go,
Bink.
And he'd push it.
Oh,
and so we started with the hand.
That's called rebellion.
We started with the hand swats, and that's what we, and then it progressed, and now he's at an age where if we tell him no, he throws a tantrum, and he'll try to hit me, or he'll try to hit Janae, and then it's put him on your lap and smack the crap out of his body, literally until he poops. I'm
and I'll
joking.
Tell you what, it's different for each kid, because with Jack, spanking got the job done. From an early age, it was like he knew when it was a form of rebellion and he was choosing not to. Yes, we spanked our child. And that was it. Well, with Luke, it was the first time I spanked my son Luke, he turned around and hit me back. And I was like, wow, that didn't work out as planned. But in turn, taking things away that he cares about did work. And immediately go to your room, you sit in the naughty chair, that's right, the naughty chair, and you just kick it there for 5 minutes. Done. I think it's different for each child. However, there's...
What if when you did that, you just laid him out, punched him, poof?
Never, because you never obviously want... Here's what I do. One, my kids are a little older now, 6 and 8. Go to your room, they go to their room, I go to my room, and I pray. Because you never want to obviously spank your child in anger. You never want to... You know, spank. Oh, I'm so mad at you right now, dude. And here's the deal: there are rules, and there are rules I have to adhere to. And son, I'm sorry, man. This bums me out just as much as it bums your butt out in about 3 seconds. But I love you, man. And here's what happens. Here's the deal. Here's what the Bible says. And this is sin. And
yeah.
But I would definitely recommend shepherding a child's heart.
Yeah, and I would just say it's different for each kid. Some kids progress quicker and learn a lot quicker and know. I mean, there's some kids that from a very young age, man, they know what they're doing. There's other ones who really, I mean, they're oblivious.
Or they're just better actors.
Yeah. But now I think spanking is very important. I've seen kids who never got spanked and they're brats. They're brats.
Mm.
So I think it's a good thing. And I think it's ultimately, I think you guys can talk about it, but until you have a kid, you're not going to really be able to say it. We're going to start spanking it. 2 months, we're going to start spanking.
Right. However, I will say, I'm going to give her this. Good job, Christina. One, great question. And two, you're not even married yet, and you and your future spouse are already talking out these issues. That's the smart way to go about it.
Yeah.
Instead of like, hey, we have a 6-month-old who's crazy. I don't know what to do. You know, and so.
You know, I always encourage husbands and wives before they get married to ask those hard questions.
Absolutely.
Like, I always ask my wife, I was like, honey, what kind of sandwiches do I like for lunchtime? I wanted to make sure she knew that. I wanted to make sure she knew what channel I wanted the TV on when I came home.
Stop it,
like,
right now.
It's important to ask those tough questions.
It's ESPN, right?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Actually,
I don't
have a favorite channel.
I know,
I'm just trying to be a jerk right now.
But thank you so much for the question. And yeah, there's 1,000 resources, and I will recommend Shepherding a Child's Heart. In fact, we're getting ready to go through that series in the fall for a group, a Bible study group at our church.
Mm, that's cool.
My wife and I are leading. Yeah.
Hopefully there's not like single people in that Bible study group. That'd be weird.
Why?
How to
what if they're
be a
what if they're preparing to be a parent? What if
what
they want to learn?
Eunuchs? What if they're a eunuch?
Oh man. I'm going to fight you. You
What if there are none?
You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig to my right. I use that term loosely. And yeah, we got to take our final break.
What term? What, Nate Heitzig?
Pastor. Dear friend of mine.
Well, my real name is Beals.
Beals?
Beals.
Beals?
Yeah. Beals.
We got to take our final break, but coming right back. Yeah, we'll hit up the final segment of, you know what? Let's not do that, actually. You realize it's 7:52?
What?
Let's just bypass that right now.
Oh.
Let's just bypass that right now. 505-338-3700. That's right. That's the phone number that you can call in and hang out with us this evening. It's been a really fun show. In fact, if you missed a part of Shock Therapy Live, don't forget you can always go back and podcast us. You can subscribe to the podcast at iTunes and it'll download every single week, or you can hit us up on our website, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive, and get all past episodes. And maybe you have a question that we didn't have time to get to. I promise you, we've probably touched on it in a past episode because we've talked about a lot of things on this here shoe.
Yeah,
over the year.
Have you ever been in a street fight?
Ever?
Yeah.
That's weird. We were actually just talking about this at church yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, have you been in a street fight before?
Have I ever been in a street fight, or have I ever been like in a fist fight ever?
No, like a street, like, I don't know.
Like with like a brawl with like 10 people and half of them were wearing leather jackets?
I don't know,
jackets.
Just like a random fight. Not like when you're like a little kid and be like, let's go meet after school and fight. Like, that's not fighting. Like actually been like in a situation where like something made you angry and you jumped somebody or someone jumped you and you need to defend yourself. You've ever been in a street fight, like a straight up like, yo, G. Fight.
I mean, in high school, yes, I got into fights, but I never.
But like school fight, like, hey, you looked at my girlfriend funny. Let's fight after school. Like, yeah. That's not a fight. Yeah. That's gay. Like, you're sitting in third period waiting for the fight after school. Like, oh man, why did I call that guy out? He's like 5 times the size of me, and I think he takes steroids. Like, that's not a fight. A fight's like I'm walking on the street, and a guy looks at me funny, and I'm like, hey, what's your problem, bro? And he's like, what, you want to fight? And then he punches you in the face.
Here's a good question. What do you do in that situation?
Dude. That's why I carry,
honestly.
That's why I carry a baseball bat.
Stop it.
Everywhere I go.
I'm being serious, because, you know, we've talked about this before on the morning show, when somebody's being bullied, how you handle them to defend yourself. If someone straight up clocks you, what do you do? It's not easy. It's easy to turn the other cheek when you're, you know, trying to stand back up because you just got punched in the face.
Hmm.
Mm. Do you defend yourself or do you walk away? Can you walk away?
I think you defend yourself.
Okay.
I think if you're an immediate, like,
danger? Your life's in danger?
Dude, you throw down, bro.
Who are you?
I don't know. I've always questioned myself, like, man, Nate, you know.
If somebody ever just walked up to you on the street,
I just wonder,
like,
if I was in a street fight, would I win?
Probably not. I don't know. You're a scrappy dude. You may.
I'm scrappy.
You're
and
big
this is
dude.
The thing. I've got, like, reach, bro.
Actually, you know what? And you've been in a couple boxing matches, and you won.
Dude.
You won.
Knocked fools out.
So, I will say, yeah, yeah. Those are tough questions, because until you're in the moment, what do? You know, fight or flight.
And here's another question. You're walking, you know, to what point does, like, bloodlust kick in? Like, what I mean by that is, like, you're walking by an alley, and you look down the alley, and somebody's getting murdered or, like, sexually molested. What would you do?
Actually,
like, what would you physically do if actually you walked by and you saw that?
That just happened this last week. A man in Texas, he heard a scream in the barn, ran out there. His 4-year-old daughter was being molested,
He
beat the man to death.
I think
and
I
it
would,
went to
too.
A grand jury, and he got off. They didn't arrest him, nothing. I'm not saying that you should
no,
do that.
I think,
however,
I've always questioned myself with that, and I don't know. Like, I think that if I saw that happening, something would snap in my head, and I would grab whatever blunt object was closest, and I wouldn't stop hitting until it was like SpaghettiOs. Yo.
It was such a fantastic show.
Dude, no, seriously, what would you do if you saw that? Steve-O, what would you do if you saw
somebody? I would probably do the same thing. I don't know. Like,
but see,
that?
I don't
Are you
know.
Kidding
like,
me?
I don't know if I'd see it to freak out and get scared and run away, or if I'd see
you
it to lift my head and be like,
you wouldn't.
You're a man, Nathan. You're a man, Nathan Heitzig.
Dude.
What's your middle name? Is it Lewis?
Alexander.
Is it really?
Yes.
Like the great?
Like the freaking greatest. Alexander the greatest.
I like that. I'm down with that.
I'm surprised no one ever named themselves like, hey, I'm Alexander the Greater.
See, I wanted to name our kid Danger or like Snake. We need a cool name for our third
son.
No,
that's stupid.
Snake?
Yeah. People who have tough names are never
tough.
Serious? People who have tough names are never tough.
That's true.
You don't want your kid to get a face tattoo. If he has a name like Snake, you know he's going to get a face tattoo. That's lame.
Until next week.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.